It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
Shut up and entertain me.
There's no rules. There's no rules.
Holy sh! It's amazing.
I see her sarcasm and nastiness grow.
This is Davin's Den.
Good evening, everybody. You are listening or watching Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than Hitler's accomplishments. You can join our chat room, The Den Pen, by going to davincomedy.com and clicking live broadcast. Also, you can watch us on the Davin's Den page on Facebook, We're live there. Very good. All right, very good. Tech issues going on. Audio is better on Davin Comedy. I am your host, Davin Roseblatt. I am joined by Joe Curry. Hello, Joe. Are you there? Joe is making his way over there. All right, I'm doing this solo right now because Joe is having issues. That's why he's not on Zoom. And Pip was supposed to be here, but she's hanging out in the chat room. But that really doesn't help me right now. She's hanging out in the chat room because she came down with a shoulder injury. So she was going to do the show from home. And then her phone crapped out, and she doesn't read her text messages. So she's not seeing that I told her to use her landline. She's not doing that. So, it is just me for now. Hopefully, Joe will join us shortly, and I will guide us through this. Maybe at some point, Pip will get her technology figured out. I see Joe coming in on the old Zoom. On the show, School of Fools, as Hitler goes to school, students at Howard University want to say bye to Felicia Rashad. Comics of the News, as Cosby and Al Franken are ready to bring stand-up comedy that you'd be smart to stay awake for. Don't fall asleep, ladies. And finally, that long outstanding display of spite that we've been trying to get to. And scamming scammers. And we'll see if Carolyn's agent can help fake Davin. Hey, Joe, are you there?
Hello.
Ah, much better. Much better. In trying to get Pip one more time, I shut off the speakerphone. But there you are, Joe. How's it going?
I'm doing good. I can't even talk. Holy cow. I do it for a living. I'm doing fine. I'm doing good.
Good. I guess Pip is just going to listen to the show. I don't know. If she is, she can hear this, so maybe she should use her landline, and I would call her on her landline since her cell phone is apparently not working. I don't know why that is, but it was working, and then it's not working. So maybe she could use her landline or not. Maybe she's just going to hang out in the chat room, and it'll just be the two of us. I don't know. So Joe, I went to my first baseball game since the pandemic.
Ah, good for you.
Well, not really. Almost got into a fight.
Really?
Yeah, not my fault either. Not my fault. I went with my
Yankee game?
What?
Was it the Yankee Met game?
No, it wasn't the Yankee Met game. Are you about to crow about the Mets? Do I need to allow time for that?
No, I had enough fun with my nephew Todd because he was he's a diehard Yankee fan. He wants me to not be a Mets fan anymore and go to the Yankees. And I just Saturday afternoon, at least with the first game on Saturday, I'm like, look, yeah, we suck this year. What can I tell you?
Yeah, they do suck. They do suck this year. I feel like maybe I should call you back so I can have you louder since I can't get Pip on the phone anyway. because you're not as loud as you were last week. So maybe I should try. Maybe I should try that. So at least I have you loud. What do you think?
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, let's bear with me. Let me find your phone number. I had it on top of my head, but I'm so flustered that I don't have it off the top of my head, although I've had it memorized for years. All right, there it is. Hold on. I will call you right back. Yes. All right, there we go. Let me hear you one more time, Joe, please.
Check, 1-2. Check, 1-2.
All right, it's a little, that's a little better. All right, very good. So first thing to observe, the vendors no longer come to your seats, which is kind of nice.
Really? Oh.
Yeah, they're a pain in the ass. But so I went to this game with my dad. So a family sits behind us with at least one young boy about 30 to 45 minutes before the game starts, and the kid starts screaming for the players. You know, as they're stretching, they're just warming up, and you know we're too far away for the players to hear, but that's not going to stop a kid. It's like, you can do it, Gardner. Come on, boy. You know, yada, yada, yada. Of course, ultimately they could not, but you know, he's cheering for them. That type of stuff. Very, very supportive. Now, he has that high-pitched little boy voice, you know, with tons of energy and very unrelenting. You know what I'm talking about?
Well, sometimes I do in the back of the van. You hit a bump, he shut up.
Yeah, well, I mean, I figured if anybody would know the screams of a small boy, it would be you. And you did not disappoint. But, you know, listen, it's a little annoying, but it's a kid at a ball game, whatever. You know, you kind of gotta deal with it, right? You can just try to block it out, right? So, my dad turns around to the parents and asks if he could bring it down a level. You there, Joe?
Yeah, okay. I'm listening.
Okay. And the mother is none too pleased at this. The mother is like, he's a 9-year-old little boy. She's pissed. Ugh. I'm mortified. You know, I'm out in I don't need this shit.
You know, it's bullshit because they expect, they're not disciplining their child, and they're not, you know, they don't care about people in surroundings. We get it, it's a kid. Can he not yell so much?
I understand, Joe. I understand. That is one line of thought. But I'm just trying to go to a fucking baseball game. I don't need to be pissing people off. I will correct people who are bad at their jobs. I am not going to correct other people's children. That is just not the way I roll. But my dad felt the need to. And the mother's not happy about this. But, you know, I understand your side, and I understand the woman's side. I wasn't going to say anything. I'm looking straight ahead now. I really don't want to be involved in this. And I said to my dad, I go, you know, he's going to wear himself out. I mean, you know, the Yankee games take forever. We're 45 minutes before the game. He's screaming his head off. The little fuck is going to tucker himself out. We'll be good to go. You know, relax.
Right.
That was my approach. A bit later, my dad says he's going to take out his hearing aid. Well, why didn't you do that to begin with? But that's a solid plan. Take out the hearing aid. Good idea.
This so you can hear the kid yell louder.
I don't know why. If he knows he has a hearing aid and he's being annoyed by this high-pitched kid, just not tune it out. I don't have such options. No. I mean, I could stick popcorn in my ears, I guess. But, you know, I don't have that. So the kid turned it down a bit. And, you know, the kid probably feels like crap about this whole thing. You know, you're getting reprimanded by some old guy who you don't know at a Yankee game when you're just trying to have fun. You know, that's going to scar a small psyche. That's not good. So a few innings later, the woman comes back and she says loudly, "We're moving seats because of that man." So now there's a fucking scene. And I just was like, oh, why is this happening? I am behaving badly. I mean, I am not behaving badly. Why am I always with people that do not know how to behave? They moved a couple sections over. But honestly, let's be honest, wherever they moved, nobody's looking forward to the screaming kid moving in. Nobody's embracing the screaming kid. But all right.
Just a quick note from the our tech department. She can hear us on the phone. She's fine. She's not sure of the problem. She's working on it. she can't bring the landline in there. She's trying to get it figured out.
Oh, well, I have full confidence in that. I'm, you know, if Pip is working tech, I'm sure. Why can't she bring a landline? Oh, well, that's right. She's got the only, she's got a new laptop that can't be moved. She has a new laptop that can't be moved. And apparently a landline can't be close to the cat litter, but she can. I mean, I don't understand how you people set up your house. I really don't. And we told her, Joe, we told her months ago, and I'm getting distracted from my story, to bring her computer here and we will try to fix it because it might be a software issue. She has not done that. She has not done that. So, you know, this is what happens when 45 minutes before the show, you notify the boss that apparently you're a Yankee starting pitcher and you can't go because you have a shoulder injury. I don't even know how that happens. She hangs out with a stunkin' a nothing band, Enough's Enough, on Sunday night. Tuesday night to do the show, she can't fucking make it because of a shoulder injury. I've never heard of anything. Like, last week she couldn't get up the stairs because of her back, and now she's one of three people to go out and stand to see Enough's Enough at a venue that you played and probably out fucking Drew. Enough's Enough. I got an Enough's Enough story, but yeah, I mean, really. And here's how pathetic Pip is. Pip went to see her friend, who's actually been on the show, and her friend said, "Nay, nay, I'm not going to see Enough's Enough either, because it's my favorite band. I wonder what fucking dope will show up and go to Clifton at a zilch bar to see this band that has never been relevant." And Pip said, "Count me in, but I have a shoulder injury from waving from Chip's Enough," I think that's his real last name, "to get attention, because I don't want to pay for his cameo so I can have a little shout-out." That is Pip Helix.
You know, it's worse than that. A dope that would come in from Long Island to the bar that was across the street every Sunday to hang out.
Why, you did that?
Even worse. Huh?
You did that?
That was moi. Yes, it was.
Well, Joe, the difference is you did not come in the following Tuesday and say you can't go because you have a shoulder injury. So your bad decisions do not affect me. So as long as your bad decisions don't affect me or this show.
My bad decisions affect the show back then, trust me.
Listen, yes, your bad decisions have not affected this show recently. And by recently, I mean today. So, but listen, a fucking shoulder injury. She went from "I can't leave the house" to seeing Enough's Enough. Now, I understand, you know, if you're going to go out to a concert and you're afraid of being near people, Enough's Enough is probably the band to see. Because I understand there's probably plenty of room. But don't come at me on Tuesday and go, "I got a shoulder injury." From what? Catching one of the shirts they threw out to the crowd? And by crowd, I mean three people, when they threw their drumstick and you heard it fucking rattle around? Enough, Z-nuff. I got no tolerance.
That actually happened. Anthony Kimmy was telling this story when he was up in Boston and went to see Warrant in the peak of days. There was nobody at the club. The drummer throws the drumstick into the crowd, and you can hear it go clickety-click on the floor because nobody bothered to catch it.
Now, I must diverge to my Enough's Enough story just to put a bow on this, and then I will get back to my Yankee Stadium story. So I actually saw Enough's Enough 20 years ago. They were part of the Glam Slam Metal Jam. In 2001, the only people who liked glam were me and people who still had the mullets and girls that still wanted to get herpes. That's it. In 2001, nobody was into the type of music that I was in and still am into. Nobody. Let alone Enough's Enough, who I think their big hit was Fly High Michelle, and by big hit, I mean meh. Whatever. So anyway, and then I think today I was listening to Hair Nation.
They were on the meth, whatever.
No, they weren't on it. They were actually on a pretty good fucking tour, Joe. Here's the tour. Here's the tour where I saw them. And I've said this before, but I'll do it again. Enough's Enough. Quiet Riot, with Kevin DeBro being alive, and before the whole band was still alive, unlike this fucking Quiet Riot that's touring now, where nobody was in the band. Nobody's in the band, but we're Quiet Riot. Are you? You're as much Quiet Riot as the three of us. Not at all. So it's Enough's Enough, Quiet Riot, Warrant, when Janie Lane is alive, and Poison. If you're going to see a Glam Slam Metal Jam, that's a fine fucking show. Outdoor show. You know, back then you had to really package it like that. So Enough's Enough goes on first, as they should. And really, they should be thanked.
As they should.
No, I mean, listen, Quiet Riot was a big fucking deal. Warrant was a big deal at one point. Poison was a big deal at one point. Enough's Enough was never a big deal. You know you're a yich hairband if I didn't get into you. But I digress. So enough. And by the way, the person who Pip met, I saw the little video, seems like a lovely man. He might be very talented. But on this night, it wasn't even night. They were opening during the day. On this day, it's Enough's Enough's going on. And they're probably still doing this fakakta bullshit. They play a bunch of Beatles songs. Are they doing that? Pip is nine. They play a bunch of Beatles songs. Fine. If I had your catalog, I'd play Beatles songs too. I might even play, you know, a Fragile Sky song. Why the fuck not? So they're playing a bunch of Beatles songs. Because they had like a couple of minor hits. Fly High Michelle was the big one, which you probably have to open and close with. And I think they have a Sure Thing or something like that was another one. Okay. They have a limited amount of time. You're the opening band. But you know what they do? They're not getting a very good reaction because, quite frankly, the audience said, enough's enough. They were not, I mean, they...
Yeah, usually an opener like that set is probably about 30 minutes. They'll give you 30.
Well, I mean, listen, they were a known band, but you're the opening band. All right, so fine. So they have a short set, and then they start bitching that they don't have enough time to play their other songs. Really, motherfucker? Maybe you shouldn't have done Paul, John's, and Ringo's and George's fucking set list. Maybe you should have played your set list. Don't bitch that you're getting a short amount of time when you're doing a bunch of covers.
How stupid can you be? They're going to bitch at the time. Maybe they got cut or whatever, but basically you plan. When you go up and you plan, at least I always give what-if scenarios. We did it in Rotgut, you know, and I always tried to impress on Johnny and Michael, you know, that we should have what-if plans. What if, because the clubs are, no matter what level you are in the business, the clubs are cutthroat, man. So if the guy goes, oh, you got one more song, what's the go-to tune? Or where are we, what are we going to do at a certain time? If we got a 30-minute set, we're in 15. Are we going to keep the tunes we have? Are we going to move one? Are we going to drop one? What are we going to do? So for them to do Beatles songs and not do some of their stuff and bitch that they got cut. You're the opening. You got 30 minutes. You're doing 30 minutes.
I don't even know if they had 30. They played like a couple of their songs and they played several Beatles songs. But the audience wasn't into it. And this is how you know the audience wasn't into it. But when they leave, Quiet Riot comes on, and Quiet Riot fucking raises the roof. They play hard. They kick ass. The fans love them. After they're set, they go into like one of the pavilions, and they're signing stuff for people for free. So don't tell me you don't have enough time. No, motherfucker. Raise your game. I'll tell you what. If I'm Bret Michaels, because it was probably Poison. I mean, Poison's the headliner. They're probably picking who they want. Nobody's bringing Enough's Enough to put asses in seats. And unless they had to do a bringer deal, like you know, you've had to do it sometimes, but nobody's coming.
There might have been a guarantee, man, because Enough's Enough only had a couple of hits and wasn't that big. I mean, as much as the other guys were, and like I said, yeah, of course, Quiet Riot. I mean, had a lot of hits and were a lot bigger than Enough's Enough. So they go out, you know, do Mental Health and stuff like that. They're gonna raise the roof. But for the simple fact that you're doing Beatles covers and you put them in the set, it's like, and you're bitching you're not getting to your stuff. Dude, play one Beatles cover and do some of your tunes, you know, and then have a talk, you know, of what the last tune is going to be. You know, they didn't plan the set. And you have to plan the set, and you have to plan for getting railed as the opening act and how to, you know, and what do we do if this happens? To be a successful opener, you have to have a lot of what-ifs. You know, what if scenarios and how to counter them. And believe me, I've been in a lot of them. Sometimes I got fucked by them. There was one time, ironically, at Dingbats, where I harped on a what if and what if, and we got fucked in the sound. We were not on the stage. We were on the floor. But we drilled so fucking well that band could not be fucking stopped that night. We had a fantastic set. You got to prepare. You got to prepare, and you got to prepare in the clubs, man, because they'll fuck you like a teenage runaway, they will.
Listen, man, I don't care that they were playing Beatles tunes, because quite honestly, at that time in 2001, I didn't even know from their hit Fly High Michelle. They never registered with me. They were just never on my radar. So the Beatles songs were fun, but don't bitch about it. And then I was listening because I saw Pip had the picture today. So like I said, they were on Hair Nation. And I think their song, I think Sure Thing was the tune that they played. And, you know, here's the thing with Enough's Enough. And like I said, the guy Chip's Enough. I don't think either is his real name. Seems like a very lovely man. But I'm listening to this, and it doesn't rock, and it's not like melodic enough to be a ballad. So it's just in that yich area. That's what it was. That's what Enough's Enough was. And I think this tour is with Faster Pussycat. Are they with Faster Pussycat? Yes, they were Faster Pussycat. I get Faster Pussycat and L.A. Guns confused.
Well, here's the difference. L.A. Guns is good. Faster Pussycat just blows.
I don't know which one did a cover of Poison Ivy. One of them did it like Poison Ivy, and another one did a cover of You're So Vain. And I think it was L.A. Guns, but it might have been Faster Pussycat that did House of Pain. But again, these bands never register with me. But this is the tour that's going out now. Faster Pussycat and Enough's Enough on the 4th of July in a dive bar in Jersey. Who the fuck is managing you? Stay at the Ramada that night, guys. Fucking taking a fireworks show. Don't do the 4th of July. You want to do the weekend up? Honestly, I wouldn't even do the weekend before. Because everybody
well,
wants to...
You know what it's like? I don't know why they did that gig that weekend. They couldn't do it the next weekend. I mean, you know, that's like when the club calls you and goes, yeah, you want to come in on the weekend, or the July 4th weekend? And sometimes I'm like, I'm busy. You know, but you know, still, because you know it's going to be a tough weekend. I mean, if you really don't have any plans,
yeah, but it's costing these guys money to go out. I mean, because you know they got to pay for somewhat of a crew, unless they're.
That's the thing, because basically the ticket sales are everything, and to try to draw on a Fourth of July holiday where people were cooped up the year before, they're not going to a fucking rock club. They're going to hang out to a barbecue. They're going to do this and that. I mean, they could have moved it to the following week, you know?
And honestly, man, I had no idea. I would have had no idea if Pip didn't post her picture. I would have had no idea that they were anywhere in the area. And listen, Dingbats, it's fine. But, I mean, it's not even the top notch of the lower echelon of local clubs. It's fine. You know what? If you're an up-and-comer, it's great to play Dingbats.
I've opened up for Nationals in there. You know, I mean,
you've opened up for Nationals nobody's heard of. I know you have. I never heard of. Let's put it this way: Firehouse, which is a bigger act, is not playing Dingbats. They'll play that place in Teaneck.
Oh, what they're gonna play? I know the place. It's the same size club.
But that place in Teaneck gets bigger acts. At least it used to. I don't know what they're doing now. It used to.
Probably around. I play both. You know, it's the same. You know, it's around the same thing. Debonair Music. It's Debonair Music Hall.
Before it was Debonair. I think they were getting.
I forgot the name of it before Debonair.
I think they were getting
restaurant.
What?
They serve Mexican food. They serve Mexican food. Mexicali?
I don't know. But they whatever.
But you know, even those guys, even playing that club, they do shit advertising. Rothgut played there. And this was when Anthony was on Opie and Anthony plugging that fucking gig, and we had an immense turnout because the club itself didn't fucking advertise.
Yeah, but here's the difference. Joe, here's the difference. You guys are paying a couple of tolls and driving across the bridge. If it's a lost night, who the fuck cares? It's not a big deal. I mean, it's not the best thing, but it's not. You're not outlaying so much money to be there. These guys, I think, are doing a fucking tour. You know, you can't be doing Dingbats in Clifton, New Jersey on the 4th of July. Somebody has to say, guys, I know we need the money, but this is not going to be good.
Management fucked up.
If they even have management, I don't even know. Listen.
Are they fucked up? Because you wouldn't do, if Fragile, you know, if Michael came to us and said, yeah, we're going to do 4th of July at Dingbats, I'm like, have fun. You know, and there'd be the band, oh, man, lack of dedication. But if you sit down and go, how the fuck are we going to draw on the 4th? Any band would ask this. How are we going to draw on the 4th of July, especially after the pandemic, where everybody is doing everything they can to be outside.
You know what you do on the 4th of July? If you're one of these bands, because they're not going to be able to do a state fair. They're not big enough for a state fair. But they could definitely do like a county fair. Do something like that. Do it where there's like outside festivals and people are there already. Yeah, you know what? Enough's enough and Faster Pussycat roll into town at the county fair. That's kind of cool. We're outside. We're having a corn dog anyway. Yeah, I remember these guys. Let's check it out. That makes sense. Don't ask people to come inside when you're not even on a major highway on the 4th of July. You better hope for rain, motherfucker. And this shit wasn't publicized. I had no idea. Not that I would have gone. But I had no idea. And usually I have a vague idea. You know, I get emails. Like, there's a place in Montclair where I've seen White Snake. That's like the next step up where I saw Soul Asylum, the theaters. Right. Like I would expect those guys to roll to the Wellmont Theater. I would expect those guys with maybe one other band, like, you know, the bullshit version of Great White or whoever.
Yeah.
You know, I would expect that trio to roll into the Wellmont on a Friday night, not holiday weekend, and they might do okay.
Yeah, like I said, with Zebra, we were supposed to, Race Odyssey was supposed to be with Zebra at the Wellmont last year. It's going to rain. The gig fell through. You know, because of the pandemic, but yeah, a band like Zebra, they would go out to do the Wellmont. They're doing a big, you know, a decent theater in November and stuff like that, a big deal like that. But, you know, it's a tough thing. Also, Pip wrote that there was a barbecue with dingoes. Yeah, I've been at that barbecue trying to impress somebody with no luck, but you know.
Dingoes is where we filmed that movie where I played a comic eaten by zombies. Dingo Den. In Clifton.
Oh, really?
Yes. I have that on VHS somewhere. All right, so that's why Pip can't be here. That's why Pip's not on the show right now, because she hurt her shoulder, probably trying to smack herself in the fucking head for going, why did I go out to see Enough's Enough on the 4th of July? Why, after being a year and a half of a fucking hermit, am I going out for this? I can't even go to the supermarket without hyperventilating, but I'm going out for Enough's Enough. Why are we doing this? I mean, really, this is grounds for divorce. I mean, I know Mr. Helix likes music and everything, but you know, he and Pip are scared little bunnies when it comes to this COVID-19, and for them to make their fucking grand debut to fucking leave the house for that, I mean, really, you gotta wonder about the judgment.
Yeah, but you know what, we've all been in dingbats. COVID goes in there, it's like, we're getting the fuck out of here, we gotta go.
COVID's like fuck, I think the Lambda variant is in here, let's get the fuck out of here. COVID's like, I'm going to need a vaccine before I go in there. I don't want to catch anything.
And that's COVID speaking.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, so that's why Pip can't join us. I don't know why your phone is low. I have no idea. It was so...
Dude, I'm doing my best. I did a podcast this afternoon. I was fine on it. I want to tell you. It's on my phone.
Well, I don't know. So anyway, so now these... So now... back to the Yankee fucking story after Enough's Enough got way too much of my attention. Way too much of my attention because of Pip. Enough's Enough should never get my attention again. I mean, and you do have to wonder, like, her friend, a very nice girl, a lib, Joe, you wouldn't like her. Very liberal. When it's like defund the police, she means abolish the police, which, you know, that was a whole big thing on my, which I'm not there. So you wouldn't get along. Lovely girl, funny, but you guys would not get along politically.
And who was this?
She was here one night when you were not here. Her name is Jennifer. She's a Facebook friend. She's Pip's friend. She's my Facebook friend now, so you might have seen her commenting. Lovely girl. But again, you got to question people to the core when Enough's Enough is their favorite band. You have to wonder. Yeah, now all decisions I have to question go, Enough's Enough? But okay. That's her favorite band. Pip was trying to be a good friend. Unfortunately, because of that, she's not a good radio co-host. What do you want me to tell you, Joe? Well, apparently, Chips Enough is more important than you and I. But I digress. And our fans, who Pip claims to love. But you know what? Whatever. She threw her fucking shoulder, probably helping them lug the equipment out. That's probably how she hurt her shoulder. Because... even the road crew said the 4th of July, go fuck yourself. We're having some hot dogs, we're having some hamburgers.
You're at a fucking barbecue. They're probably across the street at Dingo's.
Yeah, the road crew's like, no, we're not fucking doing this. Ask the girl who looks like she plays the cello in the band. Ask her to help you move this shit. And, you know, that's what Pip did.
Arrest, so. Arrest the girl with a $600 watch. She might be here.
Yeah.
But nonetheless.
So now this woman loudly announces that they're leaving to another area because of my dad. And what do I do here? I mean, my dad is in his mid-70s. I really don't want to get involved in this shit. And now the father starts screaming at that. I'm like, oh, my God. And my dad turns around and is like, listen, I didn't ask him to stop. I just asked him to turn it down. I'm like, why are we reasoning? Why are we having a conversation? This is not going to end well. Stop talking, because otherwise I'm going to have to fight, and I don't want to fight. I don't, like, if I'm going to...
Your dad isn't like me. It doesn't sound like your dad was being combative. He was being reasonable. I didn't ask him to shut up. I asked him to keep his voice down a little bit. I mean, and the parents should have the common courtesy that there are other people there sitting there, and it's not all about them.
I understand you. I understand what you're saying. The man sitting to the right of me felt the same way as you did. You know, it was like, oh, well, they, you know, if you raise your kids right, like I said.
Oh, good, because they had allies.
Yeah, well, after they fucking left, he fucking pipes up. Whatever. I now I have to go to him. I go, well, you know what? Let's everybody calm down. I have to be the fucking voice of reason. And now there's another guy behind us who fucking sees all this. So now he starts screaming extra loud just to fuck my dad. And we left after 4.5 innings because of 2 rain delays. Went to bed. The Yankees were winning by 4 runs. I wake up. Oh, they lost. Because they're the fucking Yankees. So what a fucking night. You know what?
What time that game end? I think I know the other game. What time that game end?
Like around 1:30.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm going home.
Yeah, we went home. You know, there was 2 rain delays. We left during the second one. Yeah, the Yankees started off so good. So good, and ended so badly. You know, I was watching the Yankees. I'm like, the only thing that can make this better is if Aaron Judge starts playing some Beatles covers. Maybe Aaron Judge could start singing some Beatles covers, and then they won't be able to finish the game to get a Chapman on because they're run out of time. That was the only way the Yankees.
And if he finishes in time, he could head over to Dingbacks and jam with Enough's Enough.
Enough's Enough. So there was that. Also, my family and I went to our first restaurant since this whole thing has started. Went to Hibachi. Because you know what? If you're going to test the COVID fates, do it with your fucking shoulder to shoulder.
I've been sitting in a group. I've been sitting with a whole bunch of people together. Oh, that's funny.
Right, and my daughter's still...
Who was it? I don't like those Hibachi places because of that. So I didn't really go. However, I get it. Was it just the whole family around? Was the whole family around that table? It's not a big deal.
No, it was just the three of us. We were celebrating my daughter's accomplishment. Well, no, and everybody else. It was just the three of us and a whole bunch of strangers.
That's what I don't like. I mean, if it's a table with the family, your daughter, your wife, your mother, father, yeah, that's fine. Who gives a shit? But yeah, when the strangers, I didn't even like it in good times. I don't like to sit there.
It is my daughter's favorite place to go to. She likes the food. And I'll tell you this about the Hibachi place. Very good when you're there. When you get it to go, much smaller portions. So it wasn't even an option. So
just the guy, you know, what happens is the guy flips it, he makes his little presentation, puts it in a container, and you take it home there. He keeps going. You just sit there and, you know, he keeps flipping your stuff like your seals.
Yeah, no, I caught a broccoli like I was a seal catching a fish.
Right. Yeah, right.
It is kind of demeaning, but everybody else is doing it. I go, all right, I guess I'm a fucking seal. All right.
Yeah, you look like an asshole if you don't. You
know? No, I'm way too good for this. I am too good for this. I will not open my mouth and try to bob as you, Mr. Japanese.
Open it up. Here comes that broccoli, motherfucker.
Yeah.
You better catch it.
Listen, it's where my daughter wants to go. She made, in her freshman year, she made summa cum laude, which is like the highest of the highest of the highest of the honor rolls, and she was taking all honors classes, so we celebrated her accomplishment.
Good. Outstanding. Fantastic.
Yeah, no, she's a smart kid, so it's really hard when she doesn't do other shit right, you know, to, like, yell at her. It's like, oh, she's getting good grades. Why don't you get off the couch? Well, she's getting fucking, you know, high A's all fucking marking period. I guess maybe her ass belongs on the couch. What do you want me to tell you? Yeah.
But she, you know, sitting in your she's doing the work and sitting on the couch. What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
That's pretty much it, Joe. That's pretty much it. So
she gets a scholarship. That's a lot of money. You don't have to lay out. Let her sit on the couch.
So oddly enough, I got messaged by a scammer who, once again, Joe, you decided to follow. That's fucking due now. I got messaged by a scammer that night. So I'm like texting her. I don't know how far this is going to go, but she asked me what I do. So I said I'm a hibachi chef in training. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and look at her. He blames me. Oh, Dr. I look, I'm careful, and I'm giving you leads.
No, you're not giving me leads. I'm just unfortunate enough to follow you on Instagram, so she goes down her fucking list of morons and picks me. That's what it is. They
usually at the top of my list, so.
No, what it is, no, comics are the worst. Oh, there's a girl who likes me? Okay. And then they go through the whole fucking list. This one's not even, I gotta tell you, and then we will move, then you will tell us about, what you want to tell us about, and then we'll take our break. I gotta tell you, a little disappointed. Perhaps my ugliest scammer to date.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So that makes me, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to, you know, critique the person because it's a real person, obviously. But as a scammer, but, you know, I feel a little disrespected. I like it much better when I get these women that are clearly out of my league. That is much better than somebody who, to be quite honest, I'm probably out of her league. You know, so, and now it's like, do I even pretend that I'm attracted to her? What do I do here? I mean, we'll see where it goes. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I've spoken to her several times. I don't know if it's going to get to the next level. You know, we'll see how it goes. But yeah, you're following another scammer. You need to stop it. If a girl randomly follows you, don't assume you should follow her back.
You know what? Sometimes you check. It's not as, you know, it doesn't read out as well as Facebook does, where you get a better idea.
Well, this one is Warren Kimberly, so that's who this one is. So if she reaches out to you, and it's kind of weird, has she reached?
She may have, because there's a couple of them that go, "Hi, cutie," and I'm like, "Good, good, Volt." You know, it's a scammer. You know, so I don't even respond back.
Well, see, that's the difference between you and I. They say "Hi, cutie." I'm like, "Game on, motherfucker!"
It's yeah, right.
But yeah, so you were away for this weekend, Joe?
Yeah, I went to see my family upstate New York, up in after New York. My nephew Matt, my nephew Todd, who is from Colorado. My brother and our family friend Doug, and my nephew Matt's girlfriend May, who's an absolute sweetheart.
I met her.
Yeah, yes, you did. You met all super, super people.
Yes,
and it was really a good time. What we're doing, my nephew Todd is putting together information. He's got, at Christmas time, he's going to present a total family history, and he's gone back into the family in the 1700s, and it's really amazing. And it was a couple of things. On Friday night, I was getting some information, some photos to get up there, and one thing that was really very interesting. There was a note that my mother wrote to our neighbor across the street, and my mom wrote this about 2 weeks before she died, and I never really read the note because I figure I knew what was going on, and which I did, and I did sit down and I read this letter to my neighbor, and my mom tells the story on how she wound up being retired, and how sick she was. She worked for a partner, one of the top bankruptcy partners in the world, and this woman was looking at a house that she wanted to buy and fell into the foundation and was in a coma. And then my mom, they asked my mom to come in, and then my mom had the flu, she was very sick, but she went in like a trooper, and she went in, and what happened then, my mom wound up getting very sick, and she was out for 6 weeks. So they bring her in, and they essentially put my mom in the steno pool, which is where she started 40 years prior. And she wasn't happy, and she had a meeting with this the manager there, and my mom, I just see where I get my cantankerous arguability about, because my mom laid into this guy. And what they said was, well, Mrs., you know, Donna, you know, the firm doesn't really like doing charity cases. You know, we're doing charity here and stuff like that. And my mom goes, who's doing charity here? She goes to them, You know how many Sundays and Saturdays I dragged my son in from the city so I could work on stuff, and I never charged the firm on my free time? And I remember a lot of those days going into the city to do that, you know? And and she mentioned the two lawyers' names that are the partners of the firm. You know, do you actually know that I worked for both of them as well? I've been here so long, and I'm a charity case. They felt so bad they gave her a retirement package, and it was good. I remember saying it. So I'm reading this whole thing, and the sad part about it, it's like my mom was sitting with me, that I was talking with my mom again, sitting at the kitchen table and talking with my mom about this. So I get done with the letter, and it hits me that this letter is 29 years old, and my mom has been gone for 29 years. And I went back from the summer of 1992 to the summer of 2021 like that. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks. She's gone and stuff like that. So I started to think about looking through the pictures. All my family's gone except my brother. I mean, my brother. And I really, this weekend was more special because my brother's 91. He's in good health. God bless him. I don't know how long he has. So every time I go there, I savor every minute, you know? And we had such a good time. So one of the things we were doing as well is Todd is working on the family history. And what I've noticed, I don't know if you guys ever done the family tree thing. I think, Pip, you may have.
My dad did it, yeah, like Ancestry.com or one of those pages, yeah.
Right, Ancestry.com.
And my wife's family did it on her side, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I was getting information, was sitting with Todd, and I was getting information from my mother's side of the family, and there was also stories and stuff from my dad's side of the family. But what the bottom line is this. Up to this point, we've had all this stuff with the family history thing on the online. What you would be told is little snippets of the family history, you know, at the dinner table, at a holiday, maybe talking in the car, and it was just little snippets. With all these snippets in mind, you're seeing them get welded into place where you, oh, wow, that makes, I know that, yes, that makes sense, and blah, 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 blah. So much so. Now, my brother is literally almost 35 years older than me. He was my half brother. He told me, and this is our dad's mom. He goes, I didn't know that grandma was part French. I go, yeah, I knew. How long did you know? I go, about 40 years. I never knew. I go, how did you not know? You know, so it, you know, then aside, things were tying in there. So it was really fascinating. Also, there's an article I might post it when everything is done. My mom told a story on how my grandfather owned a bunch of ships, and when the Tsar got thrown over, he lost everything. And I never could correlate it. Basically, what he did, he came to America at 24 years old. He was one of the pioneers or one of the first people to lay the Pacific cable across the country. Went to Shanghai, China, where my dad was born and stuff like that. Also, the thing was he had a fleet of three ships. How do you have a fleet of three ships? Well, he was one of the first freight forwarders in New York and had the ships there. And there's a write-up about my grandfather in this book that Todd bought, but a write-up, which was fascinating. The only thing we're trying to find out, and believe me, between being a purchasing agent, sourcing things, finding stuff for our show, for one of the specialty shows, or a counterpoint that we need to defend, a point of view, that we're pretty good at finding stuff. I'm trying to find out what happened, what exactly happened that my grandfather lost everything. And we can't find it. But he did lose everything. He wound up being a superintendent in a building, and they were moving a refrigerator one day, this big industrial refrigerator, and the elevator came up a little bit, and the elevator came back and crushed him.
Ooh.
He died, you know? And my nephew Todd said, do you have anything on that? I go, yeah, I have the actual lawsuit. I have the lawsuit. My mom saved the lawsuit, so I have that. Also, my grandmother's father, there was a big, you know, a running thing where he invented a lot of inventions. And his name is Clinton Hummel. And Clinton Hummel owned half of Los Angeles in the beginning of the 20th century. And what he would do is, if he developed a patent, he'd go drinking, and if he ran out of money, he'd give somebody the patent to get another bottle of booze.
Jesus Christ.
And that, we went in and correlated and tied that in, you know? I also found...
That could actually, like, make an interesting movie. That would actually be, maybe we'll write that fucking script. Maybe that one will actually get finished. Because that's actually an interesting story. A guy starts out with nothing, becomes this inventor, owns half of Los Angeles, and because of the fucking drink, all these other people have all these fucking patents.
Yeah.
That's interesting. But then you know what? We'll rewrite it and we'll write your grandfather out of it and we'll put somebody else in. But
there was one night after my mom died. You know, Adam Ferrara, Anthony Cumi, and Joe, all the guys, they came over to keep me company because I had some stuff to do around. And they're playing poker, and I told them the story of my great grandfather. And these assholes are at the table playing a card. Hey, I need a bottle of scotch. Here's an improvement to the car. I'll give it to you for a bottle of Johnny Walker. I mean, because, you know, it was a table full of just relentless. But, it's a true story. To see the backup for that, it was an amazing thing. And it was such a beautiful day on Saturday. We spent, the whole family, a great day together, spent a lovely morning. You couldn't ask for a better day. And let me tell you something. As you're spending time, as you get older and you're spending time with people you know that might not be around that much longer, to have a day like that is an amazing thing. It really is. You don't take it for granted anymore. You know, and like a couple of years ago, there was one Saturday we spent for my grandma, my aunt's 90th birthday, the whole family and I said, what a great day. Well, I lost my aunt last year, but we had that day. Another day was the next day. I went out to Greenport with the family. It was amazing. There was other good days. So you have these days, and you're living these days, and these are the days that you're going to look back that are going to get you through when that time comes. So, yeah, it was a very, very good weekend. A sober weekend, because usually there's a compound party, at the, and there was none this year because the place is being sold. So I was actually pretty much sober this weekend.
Good. You know, Joe, I just had a thought, and that's an interesting story. I'm glad you had had a nice weekend with your family, and very nice. Would it make sense for Pip to go in the other room and just not be on the Zoom? And then that we don't need her to run the chat. She could actually participate in the show. Now I'm sure. She wants me to call. No, I'm not falling for that shit again. I've tried with your fakakta phone.
Well, try it that way. Try to call her on the cell phone. If it doesn't work, then that's an option. If the cell phone is not working, then we'll go to the.
I don't know, Joe. I mean, you would think Pip would have thought of this on herself. Maybe she's a fucking prisoner. Maybe her husband's had enough of this shit. You know, they've been holed up for a year and a half, and she drags him out for enough's enough.
Sometimes technology just screws up. I mean, Jesus Christ, I just made it on air on the Zoom just a minute. I couldn't get online. You know, I found the finally thing finally hooked up, and I got online, you know. And you never know the way the weather, I mean, it's God-awful.
Let's not make excuses. Let's remember 45 minutes before the show, I thought Pip was coming here. Let's remember that if Pip didn't have a mysterious shoulder injury like Aroldis Chapman's probably going to come down with, we wouldn't even have to be dealing with these tech issues. So Pip gets no excuses tonight. Pip is full of bad decisions. Pip is in the barrel. We don't make excuses for Pip. There's been a lot of these shows where Pip is starting off in the barrel, and quite frankly, she might have to live there from now on. That just might.
Ah, come on, she's coming sick. She's a good.
No, she doesn't come in sick. She doesn't come in sick. Only one time she came in sick, and then I couldn't get rid of her. And that was another bad decision. She ate chicken salad that was fucking, that had come home to roost. Another bad decision. All right. So we will take a break. I will call Pip on the break. I will play this reindeer game one more time. One more time.
All right. So here's the deal. Try to call her on the cell phone. If the cell phone doesn't work, Pip, go to the landline, call them on the landline, and it'll just be me and Davin on the screen. She gave a thumbs up.
Joe, the question is, can Pip do this show without being 3 feet from a cat box? That is the question, because that might be where she gets her strength. She might get her power from cat turds. So,
semi-buried cat turds.
That's what she's getting for her birthday. Buried cat turds. It's like Frankenberry cereal, except not as delicious. Okay, So we're going to take a break. On the break, we have new music from David G. Buckley with Boomshot. And you can learn more about him at Fluttertone.com. And we also have new music from Other Side featuring Ken Lowe and Scaffa with No More. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. Short break. Joe and I will be here. Hopefully Pip will be here too. That would be a nice treat for all of us. Enjoy the music.